Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart and Justin Generals Joes Bell for a short movie-related segment. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's a Full Force Weekly.
Hey, does somebody get something in the post, Pat?
I did, finally. Yes, I'm super excited about this one. Haven't had time to open it yet. I wanted to, you know, to not hastily open it and just tear through it. So I have not had that time yet, but it arrived yesterday.
Fantastic. I think you'll really like it, honestly. I had a lot of fun with Megatron. And yeah, it's really cool. Like, the actual vehicle mode is so tight as well. Like, I've never known anything like it. It's like, it's solid. You would think when you picked it up that it was just a standard HISS tank, you know, maybe just a bit heavier, actually. But yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, enjoy that. Hello, everybody. Hello to everyone in the comments already. Hello to everyone watching. We've changed it up a little bit. We've got new music. We've got new graphics, courtesy of Brian Sauer, which we'll obviously shout out at the end. Let us know in the comments if you know the homage that we're going for here. It's pretty obvious, yes. And obviously it's fall, so it kind of makes sense. But I think it's quite nice. I really, really like that we're going with a similar vibe. Do you like it, Pat?
Yeah, it looks nice.
It's nice.
It reminds me, though, that I have to clean my gutters.
Do your gutters look like this? Thick brown. Yeah, clean those, mate. Yeah, hello, everybody. Wow, there's loads of people in the comments. Thanks to everyone jumping on. I can't shout everyone out at the moment because there's so many of you, so thank you very much. Anyway, got a little bit of news to go through today. We've got Justin Bell joining us as our movie correspondent. We're kind of trying something slightly different here today, guys, so fingers crossed everything goes well, but there may be some hiccups in trying to get that particular piece, out without any glitches. We will see how it goes anyway. And anyway, we've got some news to talk about, Pat, so I hope you're ready, buddy.
Yep, all set.
I'm not really ready because I haven't pressed the button yet. But yeah, our first bit of news is a bit depressing, but we've got to discuss it anyway.
On Thursday morning, we were made aware of a number of layoffs coming out of the Hasbro camp, which had us all scrambling to contact people we knew to see what the situation was. Sadly, Hasbro did lay off a number of their employees following a recent Investor Day event where they discussed increasing profits, etc. This extremely harsh way of improving numbers for the investors is an unfortunately tried and true method that Hasbro has utilized many times in the past. As far as we are aware of, none of the G.I. Joe team were directly affected, which has made us blow a collective sigh of relief, but doesn't take away from the fact that a number of people have lost their jobs. We truly wish them well in the future and hope they can bounce back quickly after this huge setback.
Yeah, we thought we'd start on a downer and just go up after that. So yeah, this is obviously a really awful situation. And it was a real, like, worrying, concerning day on, I think it was Thursday, wasn't it, Pat? I think, like, all the kind of chatter started getting around that, you know, Hasbro doing more layoffs. And then we all, I know personally, I was like, oh my God, like, I know so many people now at Hasbro. I need to kind of make sure everyone's cool. Everyone that I messaged got back to me and said that, you know, they weren't kind of part of the layoffs. But obviously a lot of people have, you know, obviously lost their jobs here, which is really sucky. And this is the kind of, I would say, the really kind of dark side of big kind of business, big corporation business, isn't it? I mean, this is, it's one of those things you feel, is this really necessary?
Yeah, I've never really, it always feels like if that's the means that you need to go to in order to help your bottom line, that it feels like a very artificial way and kind of like a way of stopping money going out the door. In like, it just doesn't seem like that's, you're not in the business. You're in business to make money, not in the business to prevent spending money.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And you need good people. You need also, you need a good company culture.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I think it's strange. I mean, we know that, at least from my knowledge of Hasbro, the first big one was in 94. And it just feels like it's a part of the company culture that I kind of hoped would go away.
Yeah. Do you know what? Funny enough, I thought you mentioned that. I thought they'd kind of gotten over that when COVID hit, because there was a big move, and they made it very clear that they wanted to protect all their employees and all that kind of stuff, and not, like, you know, you drop everyone and all this kind of stuff, which honestly I expected to happen. I expected them to have a huge cull over the COVID kind of pandemic scenario, and it didn't really happen. And I was really surprised at that. But this is definitely one of those things, isn't it, where it feels very, because what's interesting is I've heard in the past that Hasbro will do these big culls, these big layoffs, and end up like hiring a lot of them back again. It's just kind of like for that short period of time to kind of see some sort of stock maneuver, and then for the investors to kind of be like, you know, feel confident in it for whatever reason. But I feel it's such a short-sighted thing. And yeah, I have to say, like, I do have to say that it puts a really horrible taste in my mouth for the company, who is supposed to be, you know, like their PR, especially the last few years, has been like, you know, non-plastic packaging, and, you know, trying to limit limit kind of the resources that kind of cause a lot of damage to the earth and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of doing things like that. And, you know, but then this happens and you're just like, oh my God. So yeah, I have to say that this one was a horrible scenario. And then again, like I said, it had me scrambling, messaging people. And from, you know, as far as we can tell at the moment, no one on the Joe team was affected. I think there was a lot of, there was a lot of layoffs in the Californian side, if I understand that correctly.
I obviously don't know who's been laid off. It just seems like in the past, anytime that Hasbro's gone through huge layoffs, it's the creatives that are the ones that are sent away.
Yeah,
and then a lot of times I've seen like work from them later, and they'll tell you, oh yeah, well, we just did work freelance after that. And it's just a little strange, because it feels like the company should be, you know, creating some kind of loyalty among the creative community in order to have the idea factory be something that it is always building toward new ideas coming in. And I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's a good way of doing things.
Yeah, Phil's mentioned there a friend of his got laid off from the Burbank branch. We do know a few of the names. Obviously, we're not going to say, that's not for us to say. That's you know, that's really not that's not good form. And we wouldn't like put a list of, you know, people that have lost their jobs. That's not on. But obviously, we know that people have, and we feel awful about it. And there's not much else to say. We just wanted to kind of talk on it a little bit, and also kind of air our grievances at the technique, the tactic that just doesn't seem to go away with big corporations. It sucks, and it's a shame.
Even with a new CEO.
Sorry, Pat?
Even with a new CEO.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Chris Cox. It's been part of Hasbro's method of doing things for so long that maybe it's just continuing to be this way.
Absolutely. Anyway, that is that. I didn't highlight a lot of comments. There was a lot of other comments going on, which I'll highlight in a second, but I felt like we needed to kind of keep this one a little bit clear of any of that, because it is just a little bit of a sore topic, and a very serious one too. Anyway, we're going to get more upbeat though now, guys. Okay. We've started on a downer, but we're going to get more upbeat. Do not worry. And next up we have some MCM London news.
Earlier in the week, Toy News International reported on the news that Hasbro would be attending MCM London Comic Con at the end of the month. The press release also explained that there would be a packed toy panel on the 29th of October at 12:20 p.m. to 1:50 p.m. in the center stage, including a peek into the future of the G.I. Joe Classified series. Very excited to see what all of that is about, and we might even get a few name drops as well as a possible first look at some of those previously unseen name-only reveals. Either way, we will be keeping a close eye on proceedings and will update you guys when we have more information.
This one is really exciting, actually, because I used to love going to MCM London. This was one of the conventions I'd go with In-Demand Toys, Nick and Mass, and we would have an absolute blast. Like, it was so much fun. Huge show. The venue itself is massive. It's like on the docks, basically. This huge, I forget what the name of it is. It's been so long since I was there. But the arena that they hold it in is gigantic in London, and it is just huge. And it's one of those ones where you can't walk from one end to the other. Like you see the end and you're kind of like, okay, yeah, that's not too far away. It's like those in those movies when they kind of get to the edge of the forest and they see like the mountain in the distance. We're nearly there. And it's like another 3 days hike. It's like that. The place is massive. And obviously off the side of the huge hallway, you've got all these like kind of convention spaces, basically. And it's gargantuan. So it's a lot of fun. And the fact that Hasbro are going to be there and actually doing a panel is really cool. I mean, I'd have loved that if they'd have been doing that when I was going to it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've still never made it to any of these big shows. I'd like to go to Toy Fair or SDCC or New York Comic Con, but I've never been to any of those.
Toy Fair is brilliant. I really love Toy Fair. Have never been to SDCC, but been to San Diego loads. And New York Comic Con I haven't done either. So I'm kind of in a similar boat to you, Pat. I've done the big ones in the UK, though. The UK ones are a lot of fun. I've even done, Celebration was in London, and it was phenomenal. God, that was like 7 years ago now.
Celebration 2 or 3, because it was a short drive away, but I couldn't get out of work.
Oh, so mate, that sucks. Hi to Mom. Hi, Mom. You'll get your shout out at the end, but also I hope you had a happy birthday yesterday. Shout out to Mom I hope you had a very happy birthday. And also to Dad, if he's watching. I don't know if he is. I just wanted to pop that one up because that came in while we were talking about the layoffs. I did not want to kind of start doing all that and during that segment. Interesting that Classified Series is getting a little bit of a shout on this one, Pat. Do you think there's going to be any new information, or do you think they're just going to be kind of rehashing stuff from PulseCon and SDCC?
I think it'd be cool if they did release something, like even a couple of more pipeline reveals or you know, showing some progress, even if it's the figures we know about, but showing their current state. That would be cool.
RKW has said Big Ben reveal at MCM. I like the shout there. That's a really good idea.
That
it would make
a
lot of sense. It would make a lot of sense to do that. Yeah. Grant says, I'm hoping we see some more reveals from Classified at MCM. Jeremy says, perfect place to show off the Big Ben digital render. A lot of people talking about Big Ben on this one. I think it is a good shout, actually. It is a definitely good shout. Jordan from Canada, I want to go. Are you actually in Canada? Because that would be a bit of a drive. But yeah, it's worth going, Jordan. I will have to say it is definitely one of those conventions. It's so big, even like the 2 or 3 days that we're there, sometimes probably longer than that. Yeah, the 2 or 3 days that we're there, it you don't get to kind of really see everything. We're fortunate because we go in there as retailers. We'd set up and then we could walk around, like, you know, in the off pit time, like, you know, like the night before or you know, during the morning when we're setting up for everyone to come in. You kind of get that opportunity as retailers to go around and see if there's anything, and then you have a chat with some of the guys that are selling stuff, and you know, you might better get it before the show starts. So we would really enjoy doing things like that, but still doing that with that little bit of time to extra, just it gets so busy. It's insane, but really good show and definitely worth going if you get the opportunity, guys. I also love the fact that the panel is at 12:20 to 1:50. How specific is that? They must be doing like back to back things all day long.
Yeah, that is a little strange, but you know, it's cool.
Absolutely. Well, that is Hasbro attending MCM London. Really excited to see what they're going to reveal on that one. And next up in the news, Pat, and kind of like probably the biggest news of the week, is Walmart CollectorCon.
At 10 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, Walmart CollectorCon kicked off proceedings with a bevy of new product reveals and pre-orders, including the G.I. Joe Retro Classified Snake Eyes and Crimson Guard figures. A number of new product images were also posted in different dynamic poses and in their respective packaging. The figures are still available to pre-order on Walmart Online, links in the description. They cost $24.97 and have a shipping date of July 30th, 2023. That does sound like a worst case scenario, but when you consider some of the wait times on these figures recently, you can understand.
Yeah, you can. Also, we had a question from the previous segment. Diecast Nick said, just tuned in, never been to MCM. How does it compare to the Showmasters Comic Con? Much bigger, Diecast, and kind of, I do like the Showmasters shows, by the way, and I'm good friends with the, you know, the kind of, what would you call the showrunner, I guess. But yeah, the actual, in terms of MCM, it is on a bigger scale, mainly because of the venue that it's in. But yeah, the Showmasters Comic Cons are great as well. I used to love doing those. Yeah, but basically any con in the UK, we have a lot of fun at. But yeah, you'd have a great time. Like I said, it's on a massive scale though, huge scale. Yeah, okay, so Retro Collection Buddy, Walmart CollectorCon. This was kind of expected. We were expecting Crimson Guard and Snake Eyes to go up for pre-order, and lo and behold, they did. And we got a few kind of images as well. Thoughts, any change of thoughts on these figures, Pat? What were your initial thoughts? I can't remember what we discussed on SDCC.
You know, my initial thoughts are that I was thinking I would skip Snake Eyes, but seeing him, I think that he looks great.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know, this one I think is a little bit, maybe a little bit more effort for some of these retro card back figures. And the Crimson Guard, I like it, but I don't know that I like that it's the one that will, I think this one won't match for the Crimson, right?
The color's different, yeah. No. It's a brighter red, it's the silver faceplate, and there's other red accents on it as well, like that, the holster and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would have liked it to have been, I don't know, it's difficult because giving us a figure that varies a little bit more is good, but at the same time, I like the idea that all the Crimson stuff was going to match, and making the face on this one silver really would have set it off from the other one, and then some other minor details changed are good. And isn't it the backpack on this one's red, but it's black on the standard retail release. So there's a lot already that it has going on that could have been all that I needed different. And it had to be different as well.
I know what you mean. Even if you were to use this as like a Crimson Guard commander or something,
yeah.
Which it does get very convoluted by the end of it. But even if you were to do that, if the reds don't match, then I don't know. I mean, I'm still picking them both up, but... you could probably look at this as almost like a separate, you know, homage to the vintage figure, basically, and that's where it can live. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to operate within the display of all of your other Crimson Guard, Crimson Twins, Crimson Bats, etc. But I get what you're saying totally, and there is that feeling of like if they hadn't changed the Crimson, I don't know, like. They have to do something to it to make it different. Like Baroness was a different black, and it was more or less mostly all over. There was the kind of like the gray accents were removed, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Lady J got the complete deco, you know, change of the lighter green, or the kind of more subdued green. I can't remember which one. Yeah, it's brighter, isn't it, on the retro one?
It is bright. Yeah.
Destro got the kind of like more shiny helmet and gauntlets. So there's a lot of kind of deco changes on them. So I guess this was always going to be the case. But you're right on Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes is absolutely sensational. Just going to skim through two Snake Eyes. New head, new accessories. He gets the kind of like what do you call it?
Satchel.
I always forget that word. Anyway, I'm getting old. Senility is creeping in. So yeah, the satchel and the head and I think that's it. I think the rest of it is Stalker pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it is.
the secondary might be new as well.
My brain got stuck on UK Stalker. I'm like, what? Yeah, it is Stalker.
That's actually quite a nice little custom if you want to do one, isn't it? Just a little bit of gray. Will you be doing that, actually, I should say?
I will not be. For me, the thing that I really like, we've talked about this before, the differentiation between Stalker and Snake Eyes is that I like to be able to see Stalker's face a bit. So, I'm tempted to make it a Stalker, but I probably wouldn't want to use this head anyway.
Yeah, just pop like a little head with a beanie on it or something. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I really like the idea of using like a beachhead head and putting some sort of goggles on it so that you can actually see his eyes at all times.
That would be awesome. I like the sound of that. Yeah, paint it black and away you go. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a great idea. Yeah, cool. So Snake Eyes here, and packaging as well. We get that kind of updated, classified over previous 25th art, but it looks like they haven't included the knee and elbow articulation on this one. So that's a bonus. And also, I think that's the same with the Crimson Guard. They haven't done that, but they have put the knee pads on. Can you see the knee pads on the artwork?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
That's
better than just the lines that are there indicating the break in the knee, which was weird on the other art.
Oh, that was such a massive, massive fail, wasn't it? I don't know what they were thinking doing that, but it makes
one of those things
sense.
That my eyes just gravitate right toward. And I was just like, you know what? I don't need to leave these on the card.
I know, like Storm Shadow has the chest cut thing, I think. And Gung Ho with the broken down knee articulate. Oh, it was so weird. Why do that? So weird. Anyway, I'm glad they've kind of fixed that with these. Obviously, they have to kind of make sure there are certain details that relate to the figure. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But when it comes to articulation, come on, like, get out of town. Really cool, like those. And Snake Eyes is the same. We're getting some good turnaround shots on these as well, which is kind of good. But I think it is Stalker pretty much across the board on Snake Eyes. The grenades are new, I think.
I don't remember.
That's another thing. I lose track, but I don't think I've seen those grenades anywhere yet. Let me know if I'm wrong, guys, but I'm pretty sure the grenades are new too. Anyway, that is Snake Eyes. There he is. And that is Walmart Collecticon. Links in the description, still available, actually, believe it or not, on walmart.com. Not obviously on Hasbro. Where, did you manage to get these, Pat? Did you jump on these?
You know what? I didn't. I have kind of made the difficult decision to try to transition from being a pre-order person to being a find it at retail person. Because
that's a good strategy.
I can't stand not being in control of when things bill. And I don't know, especially for Walmart stuff. I mean, it hasn't really been true for G.I. Joe so far, because the other retro figures should have shown up well before they have in retail. Because it seems like just this week, people are finally finding Baroness and Lady J at retail in a massive sense. But usually with like Transformers exclusives, I pre-order them, and then, you know, I find them in the store well before they've shipped them to me anyway. So there's not a huge incentive for me to pre-order Walmart exclusives. And I kind of get the feeling that G.I. Joe is going to get caught up, and it'll be kind of the same thing where maybe the timing of it will be similar to finding it in the store. You know, I am hopeful that some of the bugs will be worked out by next year. I'm hoping that my transition will be a little bit of a soft transition, and that I'm not going to be, you know, increasing my weight even more for some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
It feels like it takes forever.
It does. It really does. And a lot of people kind of like agreeing with you in the comments. Sean says, I'm passing on these for now. I'm with Pat. I want the reds to match. What else are we going? Renegade Biker says, the retro card back figures have made me question it due to the last wave where it was damaged when it was shipped.
Yeah.
That's why I went in on Hasbro Pulse first and made sure I got them on Hasbro Pulse, because I was not having Walmart, ship them to me via Ace Ventura. Sorry, I'm just trying to come get through some of these. This is Snake Eyes for me. Ordered both, but not sure I will keep the CGs as I have enough of the standard release already, says Jace. Robert H says, I don't care about any of these retro card figures. Happy for those that want it. I'll stick to the Velocitron 500 Victory Shuttle. Awesome.
Love it, yeah.
Pat, yeah, you're just pandering to Pat now, Robert. Get out. I'm removing you from the chat. Captain K says the face shield is black and silver on the regular version. Yes, you're right. On the standard release, the retro Crimson Guard is just all silver, isn't it? Basically, it seems to be a bit shinier too. Jay Straber says no Crimson Bats for me. Too much Crimson makes CGs less special. RKW says man purse for the satchel comment. David Allen asked an interesting question. Now, we were under the impression that the last two figures were going to be Snake Eyes and Major Blood, and there was a change made due to the fact that I believe it was due down to the fact that they were bringing this line to the end. There was a bit, it was in flux at the time, so there were going to be eight figures only. Then Hasbro changed tack a little bit and allowed the Joe team to continue using the bubble cards for 6-inch and 3¾ retro O-ring figures. So because of that, we were under the impression that Major Blood was coming and not Crimson Guard. Now they changed tack and it looks as though they put the Crimson Guard in its place, made some changes because it made more sense and they could get an army builder out and it might be like a nice end to the line. Having said that, I still think, David, that we're going to see these figures in the future. I don't know if it's going to be Walmart exclusives. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, just like Pulse exclusives, or if they're just going to reveal them as, you know, or release them as kind of like standard issue. But I do think we'll see more of these retro cards in the future. Excuse me. It might be one of the things they do for exclusives. They might do like a special exclusive on retro card as well. So I don't think it's fully to the end. But I'm kind of umming and erring as to whether Major Blood will be seen as a retro card figure. It's possible, is all I'm going to say on that one. What would you think about that, Pat? Do you think that we could see Major Blood in the future?
You know, I haven't really paid attention to see what parts all of these figures are made out of. I haven't been able to keep mental track of that just because of the way that these things have been shipping and not having them in hand. It's kind of really throwing off my ability to just look at it and absorb everything. But what parts have the parts that were used to make Major Blood, were they in use, perhaps? Because as you recall, you know, Emily and Lenny had that discussion where they were talking about how part of the production process is making sure that the timing of things works. It's possible that Major Blood's body was, or even just like the legs or something, were in use to make somebody else. And if that's the case, then maybe they would have had to have done things differently. And even without that, it's quite possible that they were able to do the production run of Crimson Guard back to back and just make everything work a lot easier.
Do you know what? You've probably hit the nail on the head there, mate. It's probably all about logistics and very much like the delays and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think that's a genius observation, actually. I don't know if parts of his have been used. People might be able to tell us in the comments, but I would probably suggest that maybe the legs or maybe some accessories or something might have been excuse me, might have been in use. But that's a great shout. Fully clothed low definition says yet another delay approval for Tiger Force Outback, cancelled it, and we'll just wait for the regular Outback, which I'm pretty sure will ship way before the Tiger Force version ever will. I don't know why that's held up so much.
Yeah, I had to approve mine again today.
Crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and
that was
like after a week of having to approve it. It's like, if I approved it a week ago, things haven't changed so much, Target. And I have had times in the past where Target ends up canceling things on me just because I don't notice those approvals coming in so rapidly. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I have a feeling that I'm going to find Outback in the store before I get mine.
Hopefully you do. Ed says the satchel is actually Snake Eyes European carry-all. Thank you for that. It's Stalker's European carry-all, actually, Ed. Oh, good question as well from Tyler Johnson. Excited for these. Wonder what's going to replace this line or if it will return after a short hiatus. Like we just said, there's a possibility it will continue. There's a possibility it will stay Walmart exclusive. There's a possibility we only see them as exclusive, like SDCC and PulseCon and things like that, for like special figures, like a new figure or whatever. But there is a possibility that just continues 100%. The one thing we do know, though, is Walmart is getting another G.I. Joe exclusive theme. So they are getting something at Walmart for G.I. Joe, next year, I think at the start of next year. So there is something definitely happening, and that is exciting to me. Tyler, I would say you keep wondering. We do actually know, but we can't say. all my Target pre-ordered figures were delayed this week, says David Allen. That sucks. And it just keeps happening, doesn't it? It just keeps coming. The delay, like, that's the only thing you can be sure of at the moment, is that you're just going to get blooming delays all the time. Oh, Jace Traber, Crimson Guard was sold out yesterday at Walmart. Did it change to being available again? Jace, I will admit, the last time I checked, it was yesterday, and it wasn't sold out at that point. Walmart's weird. There might be one of those things where it's relatable to location, maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's an allocation for each location, and they will sell out based on that. I don't know. But I have noticed that in the past where people have said that this is sold out, and I look at mine, and it's like still there. And I'm wondering, because it does say to deliver to a specific postal code, like a zip code. So I wonder if there's allocations, in different areas, and then they run out of those, in certain areas. Would you agree with that, Pat, or do you know differently?
It sometimes seems that with Walmart exclusives, the sold out for real is whenever the thing is no longer listed. Like if you do a search for it on the website and you can't find it, the only way to find it is to have that original link. So I do think it's a good idea to bookmark those links or to save one of the websites that has them posted.
Yeah.
Just because I've gone crazy in the past with stuff like Cosmos. I didn't get in on Cosmos right away. So I go to the Walmart website and I kept on searching Cosmos, and suddenly I couldn't find it. So I spend time trying to find the thing, and it was just they had taken down the listing, I think.
Yeah.
I did end up finding one in the store, or my brother found one for me rather. It's one of those things where I can go crazy trying to find a listing that Walmart has hidden.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jace, if it has sold out, I apologize, but link's still there if you need it. People are saying I think it is sold out, which is when I recorded that video, it was still it was still available. So, sue me. Okay, then. Let's move on then, Pat, because we've discussed this enough now. We can now go and chat with our movie correspondent, Justin Bell, regarding the movie news this week. But obviously this is going to be a hustle, so bear with us. Okay, here we go.
It was revealed that Hasbro and Paramount have renewed their contract regarding live-action movies for both the Transformers and G.I. Joe franchises. All other brands will fall under Hasbro-owned subsidiary E1's control at the end of the current 5-year contract with Paramount.
Hasbro, Paramount, they've renewed their deal for live-action movies for specifically Transformers and G.I. Joe. What are your initial thoughts on this?
The relationship between Hasbro and Paramount, while it's successfully, given birth to three different G.I. Joe films, I think there'd be some debate about the quality of those films. And, personally, the fact that it's on their minds, I think, is a good thing. I do think it kind of hinges on who's involved. If they keep on trotting out Lorenzo Di Bonaventura and kind of letting him lead the ship, I don't have a whole lot of good feelings about what will come. But, I'm keeping an open mind. I think, as demonstrated by G.I. Joe Classified, I think they are sort of recognizing, who their audience is, who they should be trying to appeal to. And I think that's sort of resonating a little bit more these days. It certainly seems to from the various, you know, PulseCon panels we watch and hear. So my hope would be that they can try to translate that, you know, their action figure philosophy perhaps to a mass media philosophy. Not that I'm saying they just need to regurgitate the 80s onto a big screen, but perhaps look at kind of what makes G.I. Joe G.I. Joe, and instead of trying to wrap a generic action movie in a, you know, G.I. Joe wrapper, they kind of look at really what makes G.I. Joe what it is. And I think it's probably a good thing that there is, seems to be anyway, a legitimately AAA video game studio kind of focusing a lot of attention on a more adult-oriented G.I. Joe. I think that hopefully will maybe translate into some of that similar attention and focus being paid theatrically. You know, I guess time will tell. And I know they're in the very early stages of that Snake Eyes video game, but my hope is that you're kind of seeing the seeds being sown of a multimedia resurgence. And I think as G.I. Joe Classified gains more traction and gets more popularity, that's only going to kind of continue growing its exposure enough to actually launch some sort of television or film franchise.
For me, there's like it's like a bittersweet thing, because obviously on one hand, it does mean that there's clearly ideas and plans for more live action movies. You don't just set up these deals and continue to have them going without any, you know, product necessarily. It's just a waste of money a lot of the time, a waste of time.
Yeah.
So obviously Transformers has got a pretty solid track record.
Right.
They've got Rise of Beasts coming out eventually, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sometime.
A million years. So there's definitely something there for Transformers. With G.I. Joe, a little bit bittersweet, because you've got this, like, there will be more films, but at the same time, it's the same people kind of at the helm.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a feeling here, isn't there, where, you know, we were excited for Snake Eyes and it just flopped hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even enjoyed watching it, but like at the same time, I knew there was a lot of shortcomings from that movie, you know, quite a lot of shortcomings from the film itself. And I just feel like we need a different team on it in order to kind of make it something else.
Yeah.
And also, I don't even necessarily, they keep pushing the live action movie thing, but I Netflix, man, Disney Plus, et cetera, all the streaming services, that's kind of where it's at. You know,
yeah,
Amazon Prime, where we almost had a possible Lady J series.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make, is kind of, you know, where is that in sort of the production line? Like, has it even been started yet? Is it just kind of a, because perhaps that kind of lends into why they made this extension, because if they've already got some seeds sown in some of these various different projects, maybe they didn't want to kind of throw those away and just kind of continue the relationship. But at the same time, I don't remember if it was Einstein who said it. Somebody said, you know, what the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But so they've got the same people doing the same stuff with the same, you know, producers and all that stuff. And, you know, it's not working clearly. So what are they going to do to kind of rethink that from the ground up? And I love your idea about streaming services. I mean, that seems to be really where a lot of focus is being paid, you know, not just streaming services, but, you know, premium channels. HBO Max and stuff like that. You know, Paramount's got their own streaming service, Paramount Plus. Can they leverage that somehow to produce something that's got a little bit more depth and a little bit more, avenues to explore, a wider roster, you know, rather than trying to synthesize 40 years of history into a 2-hour movie? Is there an opportunity for them to do something a little bit different?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's kind of, I don't know, my hope is that we can get something like a streaming, like a TV series, basically. Because that's the only way you're really going to get stuck into G.I. Joe and all of the characters involved and make it interesting. Do you know what I mean? As well, like kind of really delve into it. And I think that's something that it would exist in a, it would be a really good existence for it on that kind of format, rather than the kind of one and done movie that doesn't really have, like, none of them have had any kind of significant kind of impact, have they?
Culturally, they just kind of, they did nothing. I mean, you would think G.I. Joe Retaliation, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson involved and some of the really kind of high-profile, Bruce Willis, you know, the stunts on the side of the mountain, a lot of that stuff was, you know, made for a lot of, you know, kind of cool-looking commercials, but from a cultural standpoint, it came and went and it just, you know, kind of evaporated. Yeah. There was no really long-lasting impact, like you said. And it just, we really wonder kind of what is next, because are they going to stick with this ever vigilant idea they've had brewing around?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, is the Snake Eyes movie going to mean anything, or are they just going to throw it away and kind of do a third soft reboot? I mean, I don't really know what.
Do you remember last time we kind of spoke? I think it was Hunt for Infinity Mask. Do you remember that?
Oh, right. Yep.
That was the title that had been trademarked, The Hunt for Infinity Mask. I mean, that straight away, you're kind of like, I wonder what they're trying to do there, obviously. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
This whole thing of like making a cinematic universe only works if the movies are good. And, right, you know, like, you know, Marvel have done it and they've done it well.
The thing with Marvel is you can release, you know, Thor Love and Thunder. It was not very widely praised. A lot of people kind of had issues with it. It made almost $800 million worldwide. I mean, most film franchises would kill for that kind of turnaround. And Wakanda Forever, you know, I'm already hearing a lot of buzz for that movie. I got to think that's going to make a ton of money. And so that stuff sort of subsidizes in a way the streaming service stuff, because if you can release a single movie, make $1 billion and kind of funnel some of that money down to the streaming service, which also generates subscribers or whatever, you know, it really opens the door for so many other things. I'm not saying G.I. Joe has the capability to be a $1 billion franchise. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we need to go for more realistic expectations there. But I do think there's enough history and enough characters and that they should be able to do something. It should not be this complicated. I think they have a tendency to overthink, you know, how do we take this idea and appeal it to this group that maybe, you know, over the past 40 years, you know, the 8 to 12 year olds that gravitated towards it in the 80s, it's not what 8 to 12 year olds are gravitating towards now. So you've got to decide sort of who this audience is for. You can't say, well, we'll put this part in the movie so it appeals to these people, but we got to put magic swords in there too so it appeals to these people, because you're going to water it down and it's just not going to have the same effect.
Yeah.
They got to focus on who they are marketing this towards, who is their audience, and really commit to satisfying that audience. Whoever it may be, whether it's us old dudes or, you know, a different crowd, or, you know, heck, do what, you know, Masters of the Universe did and make Revelation for the older folks and make the CGI series for the younger folks. And oh, by the way, that CGI series is actually pretty badass for the older people too. I mean, you may be able to do something like that with G.I. Joe. Who knows?
I definitely think animation is something they've just not touched on for so long. And the fact that, you know, we had that hint that there was an animation coming based on Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Kind of fell flat. I think the film had a lot to do with the you know, the temperature of how those other things were going, and that's where we kind of are at the moment. It looks like we're kind of starting from, you know, from scratch again. I would imagine there's going to be some sort of like reboot scenario. Would you expect to see a reboot from this point on now, or do you think they're going to try and tie some of it in, like in some way, shape, or form?
I think they could do something similar. I mean, we kept on talking about with the Snake Eyes movie that while it was a reboot, it could, you know, it didn't necessarily contradict stuff that happened in the previous. It did a little bit because you had the 10-year-old Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and Rise of Cobra or whatever. So it contradicted it a little bit, but, you know, not unless you really dug down and examined it. They could do the same thing. They could kind of quietly wipe the Snake Eyes slate clean and start with, you know, because you never really saw Snake Eyes get disfigured in his own movie. You didn't see any of that stuff. So they can still use that to launch, you know, kind of a soft reboot of the franchise in the future, you know, without necessarily contradicting what happened in the Snake Eyes movie. But I think they would be wise to sort of, you know, slowly kind of brush that away and, you know, not focus too much marketing attention on that when they ever come out with something new. And I do think they're in a tough spot. I mean, how do you make an animated series these days that is a bunch of soldiers with guns, you know, running around trying to, you know, stop the terrorists from taking over the world? I mean, it doesn't lend itself, you know, to being so homogenous as something like the Marvel Universe does, where it's people with superpowers that can really cross all sorts of genres and thresholds. So, you know, they are shoehorned a little bit into what they can do, but I think there is still some opportunities for them to explore some of those stories, you know, however they choose to do it without, you know, the resolute blood and guts and stuff like that. I think they can find a way to make it work. But
I would love to see a continuation of the Sunbow cartoon, actually. I think that'd be kind of fun, like as a, you know, maybe like slightly change the animation a little bit or improve the animation, but still, like, you know, go straight off the back of the movie kind of thing. That'd be kind of fun. I suppose one other aspect is that the other brands go to E1 now. So E1's going to have the opportunity possibly to churn things out for Mask, Visionaries,
et cetera.
I mean, does that interest you in any way, shape, or form?
It definitely does. I mean, I think it puts to rest any thoughts of a cinematic universe if they're kind of separated into two different studios. But but I would certainly be up to see what they could do with Mask. I think Mask is a very neglected property right now. I think Mask is one of those things that, and Visionaries for that matter, that could potentially appeal to a wider audience. They're not quite so, you know, barricaded into a, you know, modern military sci-fi structure. They can really go outside the box, and as big as fantasy is these days, I would think leaning into that with Visionaries and the magic and things like that, is it's almost a no-brainer. And I'm not sure why they're not leaning into Mask and Visionaries a little bit more. I think that's stuff that, while it has a, you know, it was a part of the cultural zeitgeist back in the 80s, it does have some resonance with, you know, us 40 and 50 year olds. There isn't this long, storied, elaborate, intricate history that they need to worry about so much. I mean, they can kind of do something new and different with it without contradicting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are going to cry out in rage and anger. It's almost a blank slate as far as background goes for both Mask and Visionaries. So I think having those in E1's pocket as something they can do something with, I think, is fantastic. And I'd love to see them do it. You know, maybe don't worry about a whole cinematic universe right now. Make a good Visionaries series or cartoon, make a good Mask series or cartoon, and figure the rest out later. Just try to get that stuff back.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Justin, for jumping on and chatting with me about the movie stuff. And we'll have to get, as it kind of starts coming through again, we'll have to start our movie news bursts again and busting those out. You're our movie correspondent. Are you
love
aware
it.
Of that?
Love it.
Cool.
I'll take it.
Right, let's get back to Pat then and the rest of the weekly. Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding. Okay, nearly made it.
pretty close.
Amazing. Well, that was, okay. We know that the transitions were a little bit rough there, guys. Apologies on that one. A bit of last minute technical scenario. But we got the actual conversation out there. So that's the main thing. That was quite cool having Justin on again, wasn't it, Pat?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like you just left. That wasn't totally pre-recorded or anything.
Nice to see him again. Nice to chat a little bit in the.
You changed your clothes and went into a different room.
I know. Yeah, really, that's why it took that. Unfortunately, that's why it was like, you know, like that. Well, Mom was happy to see Justin again at least. So thanks, Mom. Right. Some great comments that came through there, guys, by the way. Sorry I couldn't really react to them or, you know, talk to you about those. What we'll probably do in the future is make those segments a bit shorter and probably have Justin as the movie correspondent still, of course. And then hopefully you can join us for a live at some point and we can do it live. Yeah. That'd be great. But we'll have to do it like this for now. Right, Pat, shout outs then now, buddy. So who have you got first?
Who have I got first? Well, I think it's one. Me, isn't it again? And yep. Philip.
Shout out to yourself.
Yeah, amazing. Shout out to the old guy on the right side of the screen. Who is that?
You
not
don't
me.
Technically look like that now, so I don't know what you did. Did you put like a like mask on or something at that point?
Yeah, I was editing this one and looked at myself and was like, man, I'm looking old. I need to maybe zoom out so it's not so obvious or something, or get my hair cut. And I got my hair cut.
Good work. You just did a recent episode as well, didn't you?
Yes. Shout out to Philip, who's also saying yay right now. Yeah. We did a fun episode on G.I. Joe's zoo. What did he call it? It's basically an episode on various animals. We start off there with the Dino Hunter's dinosaur and then get into a few other things. And it was a fun one to put together. Some interesting G.I. Joe history in there, I think.
It's really interesting. Again, really enjoy your episodes, dude. It's always fun.
Thank you.
I'm going to do a quick shout out to James Smith. I was going to do this when the thing came through, James. Sorry. Your Ninja Force Minimates are in the mail. Hit me up after the show. Thank you, James. Very kind of you. I was going to give you a shout out on next week's show or whenever they came in, but I'm going to give you a shout out now in advance. So this is your pre-shout out shout out. Thank you, James. Very kind of you to reach out and ask if that was something I'd be interested in. So thank you, mate. Really appreciate that. Robbie Willems has asked, is Hoarder free? Yes, it is, Robbie. You can get it on Android and iOS devices. At, like I said, Google or App Store. Just go nuts. It's there. Hoarder. Jerry Breeze has asked, do you think Mindbender will get a regular release next year? I don't think we've seen the last of Dr. Mindbender. I do think he's going to go up again as the figure that he is. I do think we'll get another opportunity to possibly get some Dr. Mindbender exclusive versions. Same with Serpentor as well. I just assume that I think that's going to happen, guys. So don't be too worried if you haven't, what's the word? If you haven't managed to get hold of either of those, then I imagine them coming back out again very soon. A toy kind of mood, Travis. It was great hanging out with you last Sunday, Chris. Full force since we forgot to do one, lol. Managed, like, again, this isn't in my shout outs because I should have put it in my shout outs, completely forgot to. But massive shout out to Lenny, Tony, and Chris. And Travis, who obviously Lenny and Tony from Hasbro, Chris from Disney, and Travis from A Toy Kind of Mood, we all met up in Providence because everyone was in the area. So it was awesome to meet Travis for the first time. Awesome to obviously hang out with Lenny, Tony, and Chris as well. Had a great, great time at G Pub in Providence. Really cool place as well, by the way. Very awesome place. So yeah, that was really nice. Thank you, Trav. I've just jumped all over your shout outs, Pat. I'm sorry. I know you've, have you any more to say about Phil in the episode?
No, it was just a lot of fun as always. So hopefully we'll have another one together before the end of this month. We are actually a little late for September. I'll take the blame on that one, but we should have something done before the end of October. And Philip's hearing me saying this and going, what?
It's the first I've heard of this. I also have to take some responsibility because I stole you for the entire day on Saturday. We had two streams and you could have been doing the
edit. But Saturday was already October.
That's a good point. Yeah, you'd already ruined everything before I got involved. Oh, and Phil says, holding you to that. Brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, Diecast Nick, the Sarge will appear in GameStop very soon, so I wouldn't worry too much. If you missed the Sarge pre-order at Funko, don't worry, he's going to be up on... Oh, do you mean classified Sarge, don't you, Diecast Nick? I'm an idiot. Don't know about the classified Sarge. I would imagine there might be an opportunity to get him again, yes. But I don't 100% know that. But I do know that Serpentor and Mindbender have probably got more to come.
It feels like it would make sense for them to make the additional quantities available right whenever all the pre-orders start to trickle in, because they get some free publicity at that point and it would make a good push to sell through the rest. So that's kind of the business strategy, I think, that makes sense. So I would, that's, I don't know. That's when I would be looking out for them.
We've seen it with other exclusives in recent years, I would say. When it first kicked off, they made a certain amount and that was it pretty much. But, you know, like the Deluxe Snake Eyes was kind of like a one and done scenario, wasn't it? But, you know, now they're making much bigger quantities because they're aware of the popularity and in some cases doing second runs. So, yeah, don't be too worried about missing things because there'll be other opportunities to get them. And that does remind me, Diecast Nick, sorry, about the Funko Sarge. If you did miss the pre-order yesterday for Funko Sarge, not Classified Sarge, but Funko Sarge, he will be going up at GameStop very soon. So don't worry about that at all. Oh, thank you, Peppermint Oil Capsule. Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse YouTube channel is co-streaming with Jay Bartlett in about 8 hours, starting on the channel, then switching to Jay's later. There you go, guys. Thank you very much for the super chat and also check out Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse. It's always, always awesome. Okay. I'll do my shout outs, even though I've kind of started already with a couple of...
One of yours was one I was going to do as well, but we'll get to that.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. Who did I shout out? Oh, we'll get to it in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. To the fam. To mom and dad in the UK and obviously to my and all the family in the UK and all my family in the United States and to Kate and Phoebes. Love you guys so much. And obviously it was me mam's birthday yesterday. So make sure you wish her a happy belated birthday if you haven't already. I know some of you already did do at the beginning of the show, but it would be nice to see it again. Just saying. love you, mam. And that picture was taken at Warwick Castle, which is an absolute beauty of a place. We all got together, mum, dad, Kate and myself, we like to visit castles when we're in the UK because it's kind of fun. And also Warwick Castle is amazing. It's also really, okay, I've got to tell you this because I saw a TikTok video of it this morning about the same thing. But in the dungeon of this castle is what's known as an oublier, which is French, I believe, for to forget. And effectively, it's where they would put prisoners. Now, this is the most dark... Sorry, I don't know why I'm saying this to my mom. My mom shout out. They would put prisoners in this, like... I'm not kidding you. They would squeeze... First of all, they would squeeze them into this tight space under the castle. Like, so the actual space to get in it is really tight. So you'd probably get injured, break something, getting in there. Really uncomfortable. Once you're inside, it's pitch black. And it's like... They just close it and they forget you. How harsh is that? They just leave you there to die in the dark. I mean, horrible, horrible stuff. And if you were to see the actual oublier or oubliette, you'd be like, oh, it gives you shivers. Anyway, happy birthday, Mom. And I hope you had an awesome birthday. You're all very kind, she's mum saying. So thanks guys for everyone saying happy birthday to mum. Really appreciate that. Shout out to Serana. I didn't know it was you. Thanks, Brian. That's all you're getting. Right then. Oh, here we go. Talking Joe, an oubliette is what Larry Hama describes the prison for Scarlet in issue 21. And it all comes around to G.I. Joe again. Thank you, Mark, for that. Really appreciate that. So, yeah, that's effectively what this one in Warwick Castle is, but it's not as cool as the one Scarlett's in. She's on like a little like a podium surrounded by water, isn't she? And she's and kind of like got like a chain coming out from the wall. So, and there's plenty of space, mate. There is nothing like space in this. It's awful. Renegade Bikers asked, Chris, which of those castles are haunted to this day? I would say probably all of them, Renegade Biker, knowing what's gone on in there. Captain K has asked, do I have a bigger scarf? Funnily enough, Captain K, I do have a bigger scarf than that. Have you ever seen that picture of, I think it's Lenny Kravitz in New York, just walking down the street, and he's got this huge scarf on, which goes all the way down to the floor almost. If you haven't seen that, Google it. It's hilarious. And I think they exaggerated it a little bit in some Photoshop kind of classic stuff, but I've got a scarf very much in the same vein as that. But yeah, thanks for that, Captain K. Anyway, next up then. Oh, James Smith says, almost birthday twin. Mine was the 6th. Happy birthday, James, then as well. And thank you, James, again. Another shout out for you. You're getting double shout outs. Happy birthday for the 6th, buddy. See, people know about Lenny Kravitz. I'm the new Doctor Who, apparently. I like that one. That's a good one. Anyway, next up is Brian. Brian Sauer, thanks for the graphics, buddy. I know you had to hustle a little bit to get these Chuckles-inspired Fall graphics. Now, obviously, I asked you guys at the beginning if you knew what this was actually in relation to, and it is Chuckles from 2015. He had, I think it was the 50th line. Pat, correct me if I'm wrong.
I was just checking on the next shout out while you were talking. So sorry, what were you saying?
No, Chuckles, the particular graphics. It's 2015. I think it's 50th. But basically, Chuckles had this brown and kind of like reddy kind of leaves kind of pattern. So we thought, let's do Chuckles from 2015 and make our lives easier. So we're getting Chuckles, but we're getting Fall Chuckles. There you go. So thank you, Brian. Really appreciate all the graphics and all the work you do for us, mate. It's awesome. Also related to Brian is Codename Iowa's Assembly Required. Now, a few little updates, the sit rep updates. I'm going to have to lean in because I can't see it from where I am. One thing I will say is everything I think is still available except for the Friday dinner, which is sold out. So just so you're aware, the Friday dinner is now sold out, but everything else is still very small, like low quantities, but if you want to get involved, get involved. There are obviously, in fact, the vendors are sold out as well, so you can't be a vendor there anymore. They packed the house with vendors. Gear kits are still available. Custom class, I believe, is still available. Hotel rooms, they have got a few more available as well, so make sure you get involved in that if you need to. So yeah, they're the updates for Assembly Required. My God, I can't believe how soon that is.
Yes, I know. And I'm still hoping that I can make it.
If you can't make it, then it'll just be me doing the weekly. What's that about? We'll have to do it. I'll have to do it from the hotel room and we'll just have to call you and do it as we normally do it. Is it getting time off work?
A bit of that. You know, that's always difficult. It's not the work approving it so much as the having work to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Element of work. So yeah, a little bit of that, but, also, just the logistics of getting there and all of that is a little bit up in the air right now. So okay. I will find out by next week, but yeah, I'm still planning on going. I haven't missed one since I started going. I think to the third one, I think was the first one I was at, unless it was the second one. It's either the second or third one that I went to, and I haven't missed it since.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I hope you can be there.
I have two panels that I should be in, so I better go.
There is no tripat, says RKW. Right, okay. Next up, we have Skeletron. Yes, they posted this awesome image of the retro Wolf Trooper with Skeletron head. Figure looks awesome. Really excited. Pre-order link in the description, of course, for the pre-order store. You can still pre-order stuff, so go ahead and do so if you want to. Also, I believe another update is that they're going to tooling very, very soon. I think they may even have just gone to tooling. So that is exciting. The process begins. Pat, are you excited to get all this stuff in hand?
For sure. And it's nice to see, you know, additional images as we're getting those information updates. I don't always expect that, but this was a nice image to stumble upon the other day.
Absolutely. So it looks awesome. Really like what they're doing. This is Grindstone Toys as well, obviously, who've kind of designed this too. So shout out to them. And also, again, shout out to Ben and Mark and everyone involved at Skeletron. Absolutely cannot wait for the RoboSkull Mark II and everything that it comes with. Obviously, still a ways off at the moment, but when you're in tooling, you know it's committal. Committal has happened. Right. Next up, we have Dan Kay's Creating G.I. Joe, Volumes 9 and 10. It is this close to funding now, guys. And also, there's still about 3 days left, like 60-something hours. So there's still like a decent amount of time left for the project to fund. I have every faith that it will. It's so close now. And get to pledging if you haven't already. If you have got all the other volumes, obviously it's worth jumping on and completing your set, because they've just got so much cool information in them, amazing images. Get in on it. You know you want to. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you were going to say that was the one that I was going to shout out. He is less than 900 there. And you can actually get all the volumes within the Kickstarter. if you have missed them. So they are, that is one of the pledge levels, is to just get, you know, 1 through 10.
That's amazing, actually. So if you are late to the party and you did want the full set, the opportunity is there for you. So yeah, go do that. Thank you, Pat. Much appreciated on that one. And also want to shout out Kickley, because he's been posting some amazing G.I. Joe art the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's about probably like the last week he's done all these. Crimson Guard was the first one. Airtight, Televiper, Barbecue, Snow Serpent and Dusty. Absolutely sensational work. These look fantastic, don't they?
They do. It's interesting to see him with his hand and a brush in there, to know that that's, you know, that he's using the old school methods of not digital. I think I'd kind of like to see some of his art on a package.
Oh, that would be a great shout.
It's nice to see people from that are putting the effort already in the community to get that opportunity to do work in an official capacity. And if you look at his work, I think that it would be a nice one to have on there. It's like his Crimson Guard. That's not really exactly what was on the original Crimson Guard package. You know, his poses are different. So it would be really nice to, I just think it'd be nice to see what he could come up with.
I totally agree with that. I think it's a great shout. And it's something that for some reason never dawned on me. So yeah, 100%. Let's start the process of getting Kickley in. Well, you never know. He might even be already on there. He might be in the process of doing one. You never know.
Right. That is true.
Yeah, but I love Kickley's art. I think it's awesome. And I absolutely adore these. So I'm hoping for more of these, honestly. That's Snow Serpent as well. Yeah. Who said that? Someone said something about Snow Serpent. Yeah, RKW. It's absolutely superb. Give him the Snow Serpent and just use that artwork. Done. Okay, cool. Also, massive shout out to Bobby B from Bees Battlegrounds. There's a lot of bees in there, sorry, for sending us these images the other day. He emailed them to me to say he's just got Snake Eyes and Timber and here's the open packages and all that kind of stuff. So thank you very much for that, mate. Really appreciate it. Those images are on our Facebook and Twitter accounts at the moment. So if you want to have a look at those, you can. I think I even posted it on YouTube as well. So if you haven't already got one, and you wanted to see what the deal was in terms of the packaging and all that kind of stuff, and what it comes with, then there you go. There's your images. Are you excited for this one, Pat? Or is this one of those ones where you were kind of like, I have to make a choice here?
You know what? This was one of the ones that made it difficult for me to continue just pre-ordering everything. I really think that they went way too similar to the original release on this. If they had gone with more of an Arctic look for Snake Eyes, it would have felt like a new figure. But as it is, it's like, you know, now has scarf was the way that it felt. And it just, this one, if you missed out on the other Snake Eyes, sure. But I don't know, this one and the Fortnite Snake Eyes just really wore on me as far as feeling that I needed to be a completist.
And they fell flat a little bit, didn't they? I have to admit on that one. Yeah, like I was hoping that the Fortnite one would be a little bit smoother and more cartoony and have new build. And it was effectively just the exact same figure that we've seen multiple times before.
Yeah, that's not terrible. You know, it's nice that people have a second try. It just does feel with this one to me that it's a little bit too on the heels of the other Snake Eyes and Timber.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I agree with you. I think if they'd have done like an all-white Snake Eyes, or if it had been white with like, you know, more white had been put in there, you know, along with like some of the other colors, like the green, I think that'd have been so cool and something new and something fresh and kind of something different.
But Or you know, homage one of the other ones, you know, put Snake Eyes version 4 in here. Put give me the one that never gets a shout out, which is the Joe versus Cobra one that was more of a gray with purple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the gray and purple one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always see that on the, when I'm looking at the Snake Eyes versions, and it always stands out. It's always one of those kind of quite a powerful deco, isn't it, to look at?
It is,
but anyway, I agree with you on that one, Pat. I did actually get this one, and I'm still looking forward to it. And obviously, you get a completely white Timber, so that's awesome as well. And that Timber figure is outstanding. So I'm happy to get another Timber. Snake Eyes, we could have had something different, and that would have been 100% acceptable with the kind of snowy, wintry theme. But anyway, Chuck Petty says 8 total Snake Eyes. Sorry, if I can't click on you for some reason, Chuck. I don't know why. That's weird.
It's already up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I can't see it, which is weird. Interesting. Apologies for that chat. Well, 8 total Snake Eyes. Oh, there. Yeah, sorry. Just massive delay on my side. 8 total Snake Eyes released. Unreal. That's crazy. Brilliant. Okay. Is it gone now, by the way, or am I getting a massive delay again? I can't tell.
That's weird. It's still there for me.
Unbelievable. I don't know what's going on, but we're having massive technical difficulties all of a sudden. I just, the way of the world, I guess. Is it still there, Pat?
Yes.
We're going to stay here until Chuck Petty's comment disappears. We're going to be here for as long as it takes. I'm just kidding, but we, for some reason, it just will not budge. Maybe if I get another comment up. No? I don't know what's going on. Right then, Chuck's just going to have to stay here for the rest of the episode. All of our, it's gone. Jay's Trabers has appeared. There we go.
You were gone for a second. I thought that I was going to have to finish out the weekly.
What's going on? This is the weirdest thing ever. Anyway, okay, we're back, kind of, sort of. It's been a technical issue tastic episode. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for everybody. Thank you for all, like, the listeners, viewers, all of you guys that kind of, you know, give us all these amazing hits and comments and messages and emails and everything. We really appreciate it. So thank you very much. It is a haunted live stream, Ed. I'm not even going to click on the comment. I'm just going to say it out loud. Televipe interference, says Brian Greenwood. Anyway, Pat, it's been an absolute pleasure, buddy. Thank you so much for jumping on, mate.
It's always fun. I appreciate being on again.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week. Hopefully there'll be some news in the week as well for me to do some news bursts around. And we'll speak to you whenever that may be. So you know what to do at the end of all these episodes after 3, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Full fours.
See you later.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.